It's the Tiltcast episode 607, Grizzled Gamers.
And this week, guys, we talk more Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, some Stalker 2, Tectonica, and some news. Stay tuned.
Back to my day.
We're back. It is the Tiltcast. It is an M-rated show. I'm Nas.
I'm Jason.
I'm hangry. Crusty.
And with the three of us, you're going to get about 30 minutes of bullshit.
Bullshit.
Some games, some news. It's pretty cold everywhere. It feels like 15 right now. At least where I'm at. 28 degrees. It has dropped, 25 degrees in about 4 hours.
Something like that.
And it's just going to keep getting colder.
Just get over it.
It will be 16 degrees when I leave for work tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's going to be cold. I have your weather right next to me right now, Rusty, and it is only 3 degrees difference right now.
Yes, but it's been that way for a while.
Yeah, but how windy is it there right now?
I don't know. I don't go outside.
Well, then it doesn't fucking matter. Shut up.
The I rest go of- outside, the shit's cold. I'm in my studio right now, and I've got my foot warmer and my space heater of a computer going, and it's nice and toasty in here, as long as I'm playing games.
Yeah, it's I guess it's toasty. It's very cold.
Yeah. It's quite chilly.
Been a long week, man.
That it has been a very long week. But, yeah. I've got, specific reasons why it was a fucking long week.
Well, Jason, you were doing things and stuff yesterday.
Oh, yeah. All week was prepping for my eldest's Sweet 16, and then yesterday I spent the first 6 hours of the day that I was awake cooking 20 pounds of hamburger and 6 or 8 pounds of chicken on the loose trap. Because she wanted a Chipotle-like taco bar for her birthday bash. And
how many people were you cooking for?
Well, the RSVP'd was somewhere between 60 and 70 people. About 35 showed up.
So you overcooked quite a bit.
Way overcooked.
So you guys are eating tacos the rest of the week, aren't you?
I mean, so the one of the families, or the family that the kids are all close with, they helped us out quite a bit yesterday with putting things together and whatnot. So we actually ended up giving them 5 pounds of leftover taco meat, and we still have 8. Oof. So...
Stop talking about
food. Sorry, Rusty.
No, I get it. It's just I'm ultra sensitive to that shit right now.
I can imagine. I can imagine, but hey, you're getting there, Bubba.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. What was it? 17-some pounds since Christmas is what it comes down to. I'm on the pre-op diet right now. So that pre-op diet is super duper, like,
stringent.
Yeah, it's very strict. So yeah, it's, if I complain about you talking about food, it's because of that. But yeah, dude, that fucking, at 20 pounds worth of taco meat, oh man, that's, at least this stuff, like, freezes up well, and it's easy to reheat for, you know, for dinners and stuff. But,
I mean, somewhat, kinda, yeah. It's, what?
I mean, I can almost hear people getting mad about what I'm doing with the amount of turkey. So I still have at least a pound of turkey left from a turkey I smoked on New Year's Day. Can't eat any more turkey. I don't really want to freeze it. So Lola's getting turkey for breakfast and lunch, or breakfast and dinner for a couple days.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Dude, the dog in this house doesn't eat normal dog food.
Yeah, neither does mine. She eats chicken, rice, peas, and carrots.
Yeah, see, we do ground chicken and broth and, you know, veggies and stuff for this dog, because she's got a skin condition, sensitive skin, so she can't have certain kibbles and stuff. So, and rather than, you know, buy the the pre-made, you know, fresh dog food, whatever, we're just making, you know, we make it for her. So she eats better than me right now.
I think Lola actually eats almost as much as I do, and she doesn't gain a pound, which is crazy because she's like 1/4 my weight.
Well, she's also like
asleep more than I am.
But her metabolism is super super high, right?
So, I guess so. Her body runs very inefficiently, so she can just eat and eat and eat.
I mean, I wish that I could do that. Honestly,
I do too. I like to eat.
Just, you know, let me go to town on some food right now. Oh, man. I'll stop complaining when this all goes through. So, yeah, bullshit. I'll be fucking complaining after that, too.
I started to say, yeah. That's not going to change.
Oh, well, you know, I had to give it a go. Oh, man. I miss that puppy dog. I'd like to have some Lola cuddles right now.
She is pretty cuddly. So, yeah, this week, let's see, I was in Atlanta on Saturday. Didn't work for part of this week. Smoked a turkey. Did we do a podcast last week?
No.
Nope.
We haven't done a pod. Is this the first podcast of the year?
Yeah.
It is.
Well, I mean, since Christmas? Since before Christmas?
Yeah. Yes. We got a lot to catch up on, man.
Just thinking about it. It's like, holy, we haven't podcast since.
It's been a minute.
Oh, so there's been a lot more than what's happened this week.
Yeah,
I watched all three of the Lord of the Rings extended editions, too.
Yeah?
And built part of Sauron's tower in Lego form. And I say part, like it's almost 6,000 pieces or 5,500 pieces. So I built about a third, and that took me, well, you know, 13 hours.
Yeah.
So that was my first milestone on that set. And I have to wait until I have another spot of 12 hours or 13 hours to sit down and do that. But we'll see.
It's good to, good to do while you're jamming out some music.
Yeah, I could do that. I used to be a used to watch the extended edition of Lord of the Rings every Christmas with Dad, so it was something I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. I watched them back to back to back. I didn't get through all of them in a single day. I got through the first two and then Return of the King the next day, which takes like all morning. But yeah, I did that. Let's see. What else did I do? Did quite a bit of gaming. We'll get into that when we talk about what we've been playing. Finished some games, which didn't expect to do, but I did. Still got no real news on Dragon Age. That's still on the back burner. It's not going to make it even in my top 20 for this year.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Just got a tattoo yesterday.
Nice.
So, I'm not full sleeve, but I do have upper and my lower arm's fully sleeved, but my upper arm, I've got the start of the next part of my sleeve done. It's actually very relevant to this. I've got a microphone. I was going to use one of these Sennheiser condenser mics as the tattoo, and then my artist was like, that'll look dumb. And so, it's an old-timey microphone that we're working on. And your upper arm really doesn't hurt that bad. And we sat in bullshit a lot the whole time. And there's this band that he likes called Birdsong. And, well, if you've never heard them, if you're not easily offended, of course you're listening to this show, right? it is bluegrass. What is the name of that one song? You can't listen to this around your kids, Jason. Washing My Big Old Pussy is one of the songs.
I mean, all right then.
Cool.
It's a bunch of silly, dirty songs. But yeah, that's a good starting point. We had that on repeat. While we're doing my arm. It took about, let's see, got there about 11:45. Prep took till about 12:30, and then we tattooed from about 12:30 till about 5:30. Usually that's about as much. It's at this point, sometimes, like the inside of my elbow doing that for an hour was rough. That was actually an endurance thing. Same thing with the inside of my knee. Upper arm, though, not really that big a deal. Honestly, I was getting more, my ass was sore from sitting down for so long. So that's really the biggest issue with that is just you're sitting for so damn long. But yeah, it's mostly done. I've got some shading to do. Got another session set up for next month. Don't forget to listen to Washing My Big Old Pussy. If that doesn't seem like it'll offend you, because it's pretty funny.
All right.
And lots of gaming. But yeah. Yes, I know there's a winter advisor. Quit buzzing my phone. Yeah, I did see my girlfriend. That was the whole reason I left. This holiday weekend. And then, of course, lots and lots of cooking around the holidays. Did some tamales. That was a lot of work. But yeah. That's it's a quick version. The thing that keeps sticking is washing my big old pussy. So can't help it. What you guys been up to?
Man, not a whole lot. Cause my whole like last 2 weeks were, you know, completely absorbed with Christmas, and then immediately after that, going into prep for the so I was kind of the boring guy that didn't get to play anything. Like the most exciting thing that happened to me was the wife for Christmas ended up with a couple of Hasbro like Black Series Elite lightsabers. She thought she was going to give those to our two youngest children. And I said, you know, those are like those super expensive master replicas I have in our room that, you know, the second you give them a good whack on something, the LEDs are just going to break. And she's like, oh, yeah, maybe we shouldn't give them those. And I was like, but on the flip side, since you got these, I won't say how she got these, but we didn't have to pay for them. So I was like, well, I could turn around, sell one, and actually get the kids and I ones that they can, like, we can all actually freaking play together with, and we don't got to worry about them breaking, or like they can use them with their, with various different Halloween costumes, and they don't have to worry about them breaking. If they break the blades, they're $30 replacements, because they're empty polycarbonates, because theirs are base lit. And they're fairly generic hilts, so it's not like completely Star Wars either, so they could use them however they wanted. She, to my surprise, she actually agreed to it. So we got these lightsabers. Super cool. Like, theirs will, because they're base lit, they don't have a whole lot. Like, it's like six different sound profiles, and the blade can do like 12 different, or the LEDs and the hilt can do like 12 different colors. And then mine has one of these newer 1-inch NeoPixel blades that they've had out for a few years now that are apparently thick-walled enough that you can actually play around with them a little bit without breaking the pixels in it. In fact, I've seen several videos of dudes just like hitting them against trees and boulders, and the polycarbonate, it'll start cracking or chipping before the dang LEDs start breaking. So it's pretty cool. And the fucker is bright, especially blue and green. It's, you turn the lights out and it's like holy saturation.
Damn.
But yeah, so we've had fun with those a couple of evenings this week, but that's about the most exciting thing. Most exciting thing I did.
Dang.
Yeah, it's been a busy couple of weeks, me.
I had a decent Christmas. I mean, so, you know, Christmas was like that was the cutoff day, right? The day after Christmas was when I start my pre-op diet. So I was like, all right, we're going to do Christmas. We're going to do this right. So I went over to my mom's, I'm a dad's place, because we do we do our Christmas on Christmas Eve, so that, the big get together on Christmas Eve, and then everybody has their,
their family Christmases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, so I went there and we had a large amount of food, like a lot of food. And, mom brought out the greatest hits and stuff that I like and stuff like that, because she knew like in a couple days I couldn't have any of it. So I stuffed myself to the point of like almost getting sick that day, and it was glorious. Spent some time with my nephews, did the whole family thing, right? It was a great time. That was Christmas Eve. Got some decent gifts and stuff like that. I didn't ask for anything super, or I didn't ask for anything really, but I was like, if you're gonna get me anything, it's probably gonna be like, I'm gonna need clothes. but I don't know how what size clothes. So gift cards are perfect. So I got a bunch of gift cards. but the Christmas Day. I mean, we don't do anything around here, because my buddy, he's already done his Christmas on Christmas Eve as well. So Christmas Day was kind of like, sleep in, do the thing. I'm like, what do we want to do? This is my last quote unquote eating normal day. What do I want to do? And what's the only place that's open on Christmas Day?
Gas stations.
Chinese buffet.
Oh.
Of course.
Chinese buffet is always open on Christmas Day. I said, fuck it, let's go. We're going to go to Chinese buffet and
go get that roast duck.
And it was something. it's not roast duck, that's for sure. But pigged out on, on Christmas Day for, with Chinese buffet. Basically, the last time I'll ever be able to, rightfully use a full buffet, because after the surgery, going to a buffet is kind of useless.
It's kind of cost prohibitive.
Yeah. So that was the thing. I went and did the buffet. The very next day I woke up and the hangry started. The pre-op diet's it's something, I'll tell you. I've got a 2.5 egg little quiche, mini quiche, like spinach quiche. It's just a fucking egg muffin, basically. And that's breakfast. lunch is a salmon patty, and some canned veggies. And dinner is a singular, 4 ounce, burger patty with a slice of cheese on top and the other half of the can of veggies. That's the solid food I have. I've been having since the day after Christmas. In between there, I get to have a 8 ounce chocolate shake, which is, it's tiny. it's very tiny. So yeah, I've lost 17, almost 18 pounds now, since the day after Christmas. It's been crazy. But it's all becoming really, really real right now. This is the week, man. This is the week. At the end of this week, by the time you hear this, I will have already gone through my surgery. On the 10th of January. And it's, I'll tell you, the amount of willpower that I have to muster up for this diet and the prep for everything is enormous. It's absolutely crazy. Anybody that's gone through this, knows it's a lot of work. I happen to, live in a household where basically anywhere I look, there is food somewhere. it just happens in this household. There's always some kind of food someplace. I have not been able to touch any of it, and it's driving me absolutely bonkers. And I've cleared my studio out of all extra, you know, snacks and bits and food of food, and I just have Propel waters in here, and that's it. So this is my sanctuary. This is where I spend my time. You know, trying not to chew my arm off, but it's going. As soon as I get through, you know, the prep, it's all, everything else is physical. Like everything else is, you know, afterwards, I physically won't be able to eat much. And my body will tell me that. Right now, it's, I mean, I have very famously said, well, I can eat a medium Savastano's pizza. And if you know what a Savastano's pizza is,
it's about 8 pounds of cheese.
That's it's a lot of food. But yeah, it's those days are over now. I'm coming to terms with that. So it's been really kind of a rough week. You know, the last week has been like trying to survive on basically 1/4 to 1/8 what have I normally like would want to eat, you know. And it shows. I'm dropping pounds left and right. I don't know where they're going, but they're definitely not here anymore. So but yeah, that's basically my focus. My entire focus for the last 2 weeks has been, you know, getting to this prep stage and then doing the prep, and, you know, getting out and trying to walk as much as possible when the snowstorms aren't fucking dumping, you know, 1.5 feet worth of snow on us. You know, just, trying to survive. I can't wait for this to be done. The anticipation for this is the worst. It's the actual worst. Like, I do not like going under the knife for anything. So the anticipation of doing that part sucks hard. Afterwards, I think I'll be okay. But until I get to that point, God, it sucks so hard. But yeah, that's kind of, you know, it's kind of, you know, hunker down and do the thing, man. Hunker down and do that thing. But yeah, here I am. I will let you guys know. I'll be able to podcast afterwards. It's not like I'm going to be fucking in the hospital or anything. I won't be podcasting next. I think we're doing another podcast that weekend. I will not be on that one. Because I will probably still be in the hospital recovering, but I will let the guys know that I'm at least alive so that they can tell you.
Yeah, we'll figure it out as we go.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, other than that, man, I have played about 40 video games. What about you?
Let's see.
Dude.
Jason, I'll start with you.
I just said not too long ago, I haven't had a chance to play anything the last couple of weeks.
That's a sad state to be in.
I'm pretty much, since I finished Indiana Jones, I've not really loaded up into anything at all.
Looking for my games. Because I got to remember. Yeah, recent. So, I have finished Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. High candidate for Game of the Year. Just going to say. I wanted to continue playing, to be honest with you. 4.9 out of 5. Holy shit, that is a fantastic video game. Rusty really? Doesn't think so. That's a That's a top 10 of all time for me. That's such a, it's the best tribute to Indiana Jones since the first three movies. It's the best Indiana Jones experience since the first three movies.
Agreed.
Yeah. They haven't made a franchise. Let's take the franchise away. It is a story and a game, and I like both parts of it. It's a combat-ish game, but it rewards exploration, and I am the guy that likes to do all the exploring and opening all the things in the map, which is why I did another game that was very similar, only in that regard, which I'll talk about here in a minute, another game that I finished. But Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, holy shit, that's a good video game. I kind of went into it kind of half-assed in it, thinking like, yeah, it'll be decent. It's Machine Games. It's Machine Games' best game to date. So I like, hands down, I love the Wolfenstein games. This is better. They've just gotten that much better at making you give a damn about the story. Like, it's one of the few games that I actually can give a damn about the story and care about all the characters, period. It's so good.
Not only that, they wrote a really great Indiana Jones story. Like, this is completely believable to have happened between
the two movies,
Temple of Doom and The Last Crusade.
It's like the forgotten movie.
Yeah.
It's so good. And I think I put 30-ish hour. How long did I put in that? 27.3 hours. So I finished that. I finished MechWarrior 5 Clans. Pretty good. Not as good as Indiana Jones, though. Probably give that a 4 out of 5. I still like... combat gets a little bit clunky towards the end. I don't know. It's I'm not as hot on how it wants you to play that game. It looks better. Doesn't play as good as regular old Mercenaries, even without mods. What else did I finish? I should pull up my Game Pass and just see everything I've played on Game Pass. I'm just trying to think. What else came out on Game Pass that was big? Wish I could just see that. Well, I'll talk about something else I played. Recently added. How do I just look at me? I'm really trying to... The mobile app is, like, being weird. Skip for now. I don't need a passkey. Just let me sign into the damn thing. All right, library. Sort by recently played. There we go. Okay, yeah, that was the last thing I played. I wanted to just triple check that. I've been playing a lot of a game called Rune Colosseum on the down low. That's it's an early access game, but what it is it's a card-based game. So you get a deck, right? And it plays out kind of like a Slay the Spire. You have you and your other opponent, and you play the cards in an order to kind of attack and defend against different things, and each of the abilities determine what action you're taking. So you might play a card to attack or to move forward in an attack or to do a special. You might play two cards together to create a combo. And the whole time you can kind of see, like, the enemy will lay out what they're going to do. And then as you put each card in sequential order, it'll show kind of give you an outline of what's likely to happen for each of those turn events. And then you hit play, essentially, and then it goes through everything. And based on if you mathed right or you figured out what was the best counter for the situation determines your success. And sometimes you do good, sometimes you don't. And it's pretty entertaining. It was really easy to play on the plane of my Steam Deck while I was flying around. Not the biggest game of note that I played. The other really big game of note I played, well, I've got two more. Drova. This is anybody here familiar with the Gothic games from like 15 years ago?
Yeah.
So it's a 2D top-down sprite-based version of Gothic, essentially. It's an open-world RPG. It seems really unforgiving at first. Almost the point that I almost quit playing it, but I kind of trudged through to kind of figure out what I was doing wrong. What I was doing wrong is the entire map and all the enemies are unlocked out the gate. And when you start, the first weapon you find is a stick and a board that you're using as a shield. And you, the worst you can do is you can kill a rat. You do like 1 to 2 damage, right? Like you do garbage damage. A lot of areas of the map are locked to you because you don't have the abilities to get through it. So in a way, it kind of plays out a little bit like a Metroidvania. You can essentially unlock most of those areas from the beginning of the game if you are stubborn enough. I did not play it that way. But the entire map's unlocked to you. It has like a timing-based combat with a little bit of stamina management. So you can dodge, you can block. You can do a perfect block, right? You can do counters. You can use magic. You can use scrolls. It's a story-paced RPG. Just about everything's in text, though. And the world is kind of your oyster, but it does give pretty clear goals, but it doesn't hold your hand. So, for example, when you're doing a quest, you need to read the quest text to figure out what to do. There's no map marker. Your first map looks like a 5-year-old drew it, right? And it kind of gives you a base idea of where the path is. And it'll show you where your character is on that map, but little else. And then pretty soon you end up getting another map that's a lot more complete that shows where everything's at. And then pretty soon you can buy ink for your map so you can mark spots to visit later, which I highly recommend doing. There are finite resources in the world, so you can craft your own poultices and healing potions and ability-altering potions and permanent stat-increase potions, but the components for that are finite on the map. Nothing respawns, so even the enemies don't respawn. You kill them, they're dead. That part of the map is now free to go, and those corpses stay there the entire time. The choices do matter in the game. In fact, I put 42 hours into this game. It's a story-based RPG with kind of like two main factions and like some extra factions, and talking a little bit too much about that spoils the game, but you essentially, it's a game where you build yourself up from being nothing to something pretty powerful, which is very similar to Gothic. You have to go to trainers to level up. So every time you kill something, every time you complete a quest, that all gives you essentially experience. And then you get a set amount of learning points from that experience, which means you need to focus on a particular path. So if you like spear combat better, maybe you pick that. If you like magic combat, I didn't really figure out a good way to approach that build because you really don't unlock permanent magic till like, I did until about 25 hours in the game. So I focused all my stuff on sword and board and archery, so I mostly focused on strength, which beefs up my health and my attack power. And a little bit on dexterity. And towards the end, I added some points into mind, which expands my magic damage. I don't know why I'm having such a hard time breathing.
Belt's too tight.
Feeling fat and sassy. Especially after the holidays. So you kind of build your character up, and you have some potions. There's a limited amount of potions you can use to completely respec your character. So you can respec all those points, but you can't respec your attributes, so your strength, dexterity, and mind. You can't do that, but you can respec where you put your learning points, and you have to go to the trainer to put points into that. So, like, just because I have the points for spear, I need to discover somebody who also uses a spear. Which you can get all the basics of that once you discover the two main towns. And it plays out in a series of acts. And through each act, the world changes a bit, which kind of alters, like, if you had any side quests that were tied to that act, then those are just canceled out, essentially. It does spawn some different enemy types. Some parts of the map become locked off as you change the act that you're playing through, right? So I want to say there's like 5 or 6 total acts. But I was trying to figure out everywhere I could go. So, like, I explored everything that was possible for me, like, through my first 25 hours of the game before I started to really progress the story, because I kept discovering new quests. But, like, in general, the game's really good. I really didn't expect it to be as good as it was. I got it on Steam sale for, like, $19. And I was like, oh, well, it's rated, like, overwhelmingly positive. Like, this is probably a decent buy. And let me game info and links store page. Yeah, so right now it is, where is the rating? Overwhelmingly positive. 96% of 4,623 people have rated it positive. It's like one of the most positively rated games I have in my collection. And I cannot agree more. Again, I put 42 hours into a 2D pixel art game. And the vast majority of people probably put that amount of time into it. But it's, you know, like by the end, I'm doing like 250 damage, right? I started off 1 to 2 damage. But yeah, there are consequences of the choices you make. And there's some, you know, some puzzles and stuff that are in the game that are decently hard. You have to read the text on all of your quests. You kind of start to get a memory of where everybody's located at, so you don't have to have a map marker for where NPCs are at. And just everything connects together really well. So, not really a CRPG, not a party-based RPG. A little bit of an action RPG. But the story and the decisions and the... Every decision feels meaningful, and every upgrade feels meaningful. So, like, it feels really tightly tuned. And just the fact that you really can't, I mean, you can kind of grind out stuff, and the fact that you could go around and kill stuff higher level than you, but then you're going to use all your resources. And the thing is like, you could get to a point where you use so many potions and went through all your materials that you have nothing left. Towards the end of the game, I'd used a lot of potions, and so I thankfully found some merchants that had some for sale. To make sure that I had what I needed. And it's fairly challenging. Like, there are several fights in this that took me multiple attempts to get through. But yeah, Drova, DROVA, is pretty damn good. Highly recommend it. Played a little bit of Stone Shard. That game's still really fucking hard. So I bounced off it again. And I got Metaphor on the Steam sale for, I want to say, $35. And I don't know what to think about it so far. Like, I think the combat's pretty good. Been looking for a turn-based RPG for a while. It's doing I'm not real far into it. Let's say 4 or 5 hours. So I know there's a lot of systems I haven't discovered. I know I've got a calendar that has me do different things on different days of the calendar. Right now, it feels like 80% cutscene. Meaning I do like 10 minutes of things where I have like direct control over what's going on, and then the rest of it's dialogue and cutscene. And the saves are like 30 to 45 minutes between each other. So that's why I'm only 4 hours in, because usually you have to do something within about an hour. Like change my laundry or whatever. And so, like, so far it's not respecting my time enough for me to give it any kind of rating, but I realize it. Trying to, you know, I've only got a handful of characters and archetypes unlocked, so I don't know what's going on. But it's a Persona-style game set in a medieval universe, so it's not a high school sim. Which actually makes it a lot more appealing to me, because the high school sim thing at 40 years old, so it feels pretty weird. That was half my life ago. I mean, for you guys in college, you know, how would you feel about playing a sim where you're in kindergarten? Would that not feel weird? That's how high school sims.
A little bit weird, yeah.
Yeah, high school sims feel really weird when you're in your late 30s, early 40s. So, yeah, not that. That's the only thing that's held me back from the Persona series. It feels weird. But where I am today in the game, so far it feels all right. Like I said, the combat feels pretty good. It feels very old school Final Fantasy, and that's what I've been looking forward to from Final Fantasy for a while. And since they're not doing that anymore, I guess I'm going to have to lean into some regular old JRPGs and see how they do. I hope. We'll see. I have some goals before the end of the year. I'm hoping to finish Metaphor, and if I do in a reasonable amount of time, then I may finish Shin Megami Tensei V. That game...
names, man.
Yeah, but Shin Megami Tensei V is very little cutscene and a whole lot of, like, grind. Like, it's actually way more grindy than most games that I play, so... Yeah. Got a little bit to go. But yeah, I know I haven't played enough of Metaphor to understand. There's a lot of people that really like this game. So, trying to figure out what people are liking about it.
Yeah, I was thinking about it because it got, you know, it got high marks, you know, on the Game Awards and shit, right? But, and I was watching some of the gameplay and I'm like, man, this is way too anime for me. That's saying something.
I mean, you guys are both anime fans.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm the outlier playing this game.
And I turned it down because it was too anime for me. Oh, man, I don't know. Yeah, it's a thing. But yeah. Is it my turn?
Yeah, it's your turn.
Yeah. Yay. I said I played 40 games. What I didn't say is that I played about 30 seconds of all 40 games. I had a problem. As soon as I got, you know, some free time, right? I ran into a wall I bounced off of literally everything I had. I was looking at the, you know, at the Steam sale. Nothing appealed to me. I downloaded a bunch of games that I had already played before, and none of it clicked. Like, you know, nothing. So, I mean, I tried to get back into Black Myth Wukong. I tried to get, you know, tried to play Dying Light 2, Remnant 2, Valheim, Biomutant, Pal World. All of these games I bounced off of. Path of Exile's pissed me off because, well, there's some kind of problem where it just will randomly fucking crash on me and. That actually
happened to me on the first boss that you get to, and it crashed like 6 times. So I was like, I'm not playing it right now, I guess.
Yeah. So that game I can't really, you know, get anywhere with that game because it's still very unstable for whatever the problem is. They haven't fixed it yet. Some people don't have it. Some people do. I don't know if it's an AMD processor problem. None of it really makes any damn sense. So I've had to put that down. But basically what it comes down to is I had a moment where I just couldn't, you know, I couldn't get into anything. Nothing clicked. I downloaded Baldur's Gate 3. I really do want to play a second playthrough of Baldur's Gate 3, but it's kind of too early still. So I've kind of held off on doing that. And then I went through a bunch of stuff on Game Pass. And for some reason, one of the, I wanted to play a building game that wasn't Satisfactory or Factorio. So I was looking through my shit. I saw Space Engineers and I'm like, nah, this might be just a little too complicated. You know, for my brain right now, I'm bouncing off of simple games at this point. But I found Tectonica is, you know, it says it's on game preview, but it's actually hit its 1.0 on Steam, and it's the same version on Game Pass. So I've said, well, fuck it. I've been kind of eyeing this game for a while, and it's, you know, it's finally gotten its time to shine. So what Tectonica is it's basically Factorio, and
I know what this is now. This took me a second. Yeah.
It's basically a Factorio, you know, game, 3D environments, you know, set in an alien world where you're basically down in, you know, inside the alien world, and you're trying to get yourself out. You have to build a bunch of, you know, build a bunch of stuff to be able to, you know, to drill your way out, basically. Destructible environments and, you know, and stuff. But what it comes down to is it's kind of like a mix between Subnautica and Satisfactory with Factorio style Factory, where you have to use inserters instead of the belts going directly into the machines. And I don't know why, but this one clicked. This one just worked. What you find out really early on that it's, you know, it's a little bit of a different game, because of how shit works, but you end up getting kind of like a voice, you find a little cube, and that cube is a, you know, is a character. Essentially, at the very beginning of the game, so I'm not really spoiling much, you find a dead body in a cube that's right next to it, and the cube is the consciousness of the dead body. And she's kind of the narrator for what you're trying to do. And the voice actress for this is great. perfectly done. Great. Because she's got that, you know, we're in a weird situation, but we're going to be okay kind of calm. And she just kind of like, you know, leading your voiceless character through what you need to do to get from point A to point B and stuff. The music is really chill. In this game, it's not overpowering, not subdued. It's just like, it's got a nice little beat to it. And I don't know, man, it's not overly mathy either. Like, there is some math and you can kind of do that, but I don't feel like I have to do like, you know, algebra like Satisfactory requires you to do in some cases to figure out like, what's this ratio for here and here, and how do I change this around, blah, 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 blah. You know, you can 100% get everything done by just like putting down a assembler and feeding it and having it shit out some product, and you go and use that product to further the story. You don't have to have everything run by belts. You can kind of hand feed shit. You can eventually like build massive factories that do all that kind of stuff and have it all automated, but there isn't. I haven't seen a real need for it yet. And, you know, you can kind of build purpose built little modules to be able to do what you want it to do. So it's been fun. It's kind of a thing where you just kind of get into a zen state and just do. And that's kind of what I needed, because my brain was not wanting anything more than that. I will eventually get there, but I think it's just a combination of, you know, life, you know, the shit that's going on currently, like not, you know, not being able to have a normal diet or anything like that. It's either this or sleep, and I've done a fair bit of both. So I needed something chill and relaxed to do. But yeah, it's been, you know, that's been a great time. I like my factory games. You know that I've gone through just about every one of them that I can, that are halfway decent. And this one's pretty good. So I'd give it a shot. You know, I recommend it. Give it a shot, especially since it's, you know, 1.0. If you got Game Pass, for the price of Game Pass, it's not bad. I might try Space Engineers, but man, and this game might have kind of edged me towards, hey, okay, I can do this. Let's go on to something a little more technical. But Space Engineers has you building shit like rovers and stuff like Legos, and I'm not sure if I've got the patience for it. But yeah,
Space Engineers is. I haven't played that in a couple years. I got that a long time ago, and me and my buddy used to play that.
Yeah,
it's
two, isn't there?
I don't know. It's basically just Legos. Like, you think about it as Legos. That's what it is. It's a game that you create your own purpose for.
Yeah,
I don't know if there's ever
Space Engineers 2. It's coming out. It's on pre-order right now.
Is Space Engineers 1 out of early access?
Fucking Space Engineers 1's been out of early access for a while, I think.
Oh, I guess it is.
And I'm looking at it on Steam right now, and
it came out 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't played it in a while.
I don't know, man. I also kind of really want to get into Valheim again, because there's been a lot of changes that played that game. But, you know, it's a thing. Like, I need some, you know, some low impact chill games that I can kind of save and quit any, you know, at any time. Because, I mean, here in a few days, I don't know how long I'm going to be able to, like, you know, sit back and relax. Like, it's the whole recovery thing is kind of a question mark to me. But, yeah, it's just, you know, that's kind of the game. Like, I'm poo-pooing on Indiana Jones, but I'll probably end up finishing it. But at the moment, you know, it hasn't grabbed me like it, you know, it did you two. It's a good story. I will give you that. I just wish it was a movie.
We all wish it was a movie.
I feel like the extra busy work of me just controlling the character is extra busy work. Just show me the movie. Like, it really should have been just a fucking movie. You know, that's my hot take on it, but fuck, I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe I try some MechWarrior or BattleTech again. I don't know, man. There's not much in the ways in the way of games for me right now that I really, really want to play. Like, there isn't going to be anything for me until either, you know, until Avowed comes out, or until Monster Hunter Wilds comes out, which I did pick up the pre-order for. I know I'm going to play that game, so there's no reason why I shouldn't pre-order it. But yeah, it's those are the two games that I'm kind of anticipating, and those don't come out until next month. So, so I'm just trying to, you know, weather the storm of the worst month in for video game releases is January. It really is. There really isn't much in the way of January releases that is even worthwhile.
And to me, it's a good time to catch up on your games.
That's kind of the way I'm looking at it. It's just I've got the extra, you know, difficulty of me going, not right now for just about everything. So Game Pass is good for that, because if I don't like something, I could just uninstall it. You know, I mean, the only thing that I've used up is some bandwidth. You know, and I mean, I do have a backlog of games that, you know, that I haven't really put a whole lot of time into on, you know, on Steam. But Game Pass gives me the ability to just go like, yeah, let's give it a try. And then 30 seconds later, yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, do that sometimes too.
Not have a financial burden on top of it, you know? But yeah. I don't know, man. It's been kind of a thing. As soon as, you know, basically after I beat Stalker, it's kind of gone downhill.
Oh, I did beat Stalker. I forgot about that. Yeah, I beat that too at 143 hours. Holy shit, that I liked that game a lot. That was the ultimate.
Really good. I mean,
bugs aside, here's the thing. If it hadn't been a good game, I would have given a shit about the bugs. I will say that I haven't had that kind of open world experience since I played Far Cry 3. And that's what it was like for me. It was kind of like going back to a game that didn't really force you on rails for the majority of the journey. And I liked doing the optional. I treated it like a dungeon crawler. Like I treated it like Skyrim, right? Like, yeah, you got a main quest and then, but there's these dungeons over here that aren't part of any quest. What's in those? And the dungeons were just, you know, buildings with some kind of puzzle in it, right? Or caves or whatever. And then after you kind of figure out how to get rid of, or what are those guys called? The bloodsuckers.
Yeah.
Once you figure out that you just need to kind of circle strafe those guys and shotgun blast the fuck out of them. And after they fixed like it costing everything you own to repair your armor, that became a lot better. And that's where I wasted a lot of my time. I think you could blow through the main story and struggle bus like a motherfucker in like 35 hours, probably. But you would struggle bus like a motherfucker. I can't even imagine doing that without an auto shotgun and a Gauss rifle. Yeah, you do get a Gauss rifle by the end of the game, which I used a fuckload of.
Yeah, I saved up all my ammo for the, you know, for the last act. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they gave you a no-scope version of that. It was like, all right, yeah, slight spoiler. But you know, you get a no-scope Gauss rifle with a laser sight, which is like, holy fuck, you're just nailing shit to walls. Body shot, whatever. Just, you're in my way? No, you're not. I like to just go, I'm going to go do an artifact run. I need some cash. I need to see if I can get anything that works really good here, right? Like, I know you never got the, whatever that was called, the bottle of rum that gave you infinite carry weight. But like if
strange water,
yeah, if I play, I'll play that again because they're planning on DLC at this point. And when I do, I'm going to kind of set my cadence a little bit differently. I think the way that I'll play it the next time I play it is I'm going to follow the main quest till it stops in an area, moves to a new area, and then do all the side quests in that area, you know, do all the, not even just side quests, but the exploration, right? Go around, find the things, let the quest direct me to a new area, go around. Cause I found out the quest basically takes you to every single area in the game, even though you can go to like really late zone areas without that. Like I went west, way too early in the game, and I was running into areas that had like 5 bloodsuckers at a time, and like, holy shit, when all you got is a double-barreled shotgun, like that's, that don't fly. Even fully upgraded, it was, that was murder. But yeah, like the game loop was satisfying. It was the perfect game to listen to podcasts and records to while I went out and found stuff. The grind of getting better gear in that game, because everything, you know, there's no skill points, right? The way you get better is through experience and finding better gear or getting enough money to buy certain things that were better or upgrading your current gear. But that Sega shotgun shines all the way to the end of the game. Like that shotgun is so good. But yeah, that game's really good. If there were no bugs, easy 4.8. With bugs, like a 4.7, I guess.
It wasn't too bad as far as the bugs were concerned. Like there was some things that like
it doesn't like frame generation, and that's, I'm probably the only one running that. So for me, that meant a crash every time I ran into a gravity anomaly in the dark.
The gravity anomalies were fucking me up too, where it would just like kill me or put me in a state where I couldn't continue until I alt F4'd out of the game.
Yeah, it would just straight up crash my game with frame generation on. And then without frame generation, because I was running it at 4K, like it would run at like 50 FPS on a 4090. And after getting like 150 FPS with the frame generation, I didn't want to turn it off. So it's, you know, I was being stubborn. I was just like, well, I'll deal with the crash because my NVMe, this doesn't take that long to load up. But yeah, I put a ridiculous, I played that from before Thanksgiving all the way to Christmas break. Like I played that for a long time. And definitely got my money's worth out of that. I mean, my Game Pass worth. So right. Yeah, Stalker 2, very solid game. I don't know what I expected, but I, you know, heresy for the people that really like the old games that are more punishing. This was way better balanced than the older games. Need some work, yes, to make it perfect. But where it's at is really good. Very satisfied with that game. I don't know. Do we want to take a break?
Sure.
All right, guys, we'll be back. Back.
Wow.
Just as it's just continuing to get freaking colder out here.
Dude. Just embrace the suck.
I don't really want to. Feels like 13 degrees anyway. Outside. It is very gray outside, as I can see from the window.
I looked outside. It's very white out here. It's very, very white out here. It hasn't snowed in the last couple hours, but my car is definitely under a mountain right now.
Well, I guess that means that it's time for the news.
New house. New.
Yeah.
The news.
So I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about Nintendo Switch, a system we routinely shit on. It is what it is. They're working on a Switch 2 right now, and there's a lot of issues with modern gaming in the Switch, and one of those issues has to do with the cart size. So Nintendo Switch cart holds up to 32 gigs worth of content, which makes it very difficult to do games in 4K, right? And not that you're playing games at 4K when you're playing it natively on the Switch, but there's a lot of people who hook it up to their TV, right? So they are working on their own proprietary way of upscaling currently. So that they can get their 1080p games at 4K resolution.
That's just
I don't know why you'd have, like, there are reasons that I thought I wanted a Switch, right? But so far has none been enough to get me to drop. Because for the price of a Switch, you basically can get a Steam Deck, and that's vastly superior. And I'm not telling you you could do this, but, you know, there are a lot of ways to mod your Steam Deck to essentially be the best Nintendo device ever. And I'll just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, though, like, there is a Metroid Prime 4 that is being hinted as a potential Switch launch title. So, essentially, there was a post that said you wouldn't be hunting space pirates until Switch 2's launch day. So, Metroid Prime 4 was originally announced at EA 2017, or E3 2017, which there isn't an E3 anymore. But yeah, the trailer for that launched last summer. Looked really neat, right? But hopefully it just works, because, like, I've been looking forward to a Metroid for a while. But honestly, I would be happy with a, I don't know, it needs a glow up. Like, Metroid, here's the thing. Nintendo's, like, weirdly preying on the nostalgia of people that are in our age group while still making, like, kids games, right? Like, do I still care? I don't really care about Mario. I haven't cared about Mario in at least 15 years, if not longer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care about Donkey Kong anymore. Like, it's just like a whole different chapter of my life, like several chapters ago. And I need a gaming release. I don't know. My gaming release usually devolves into something hyper violent. I'm just not going to lie. Or story based that has like modern, something that I can relate to in this grand age of life. So, like, Metroid would be cool. I hope it doesn't get the kid treatment. The trailers didn't look too bad. But again, like, I don't really want to buy a Switch 2 at all for a single game. So it may fall to me. Like, just because they have the means doesn't mean you should, right? Like, for that amount of money, I could get another tattoo. I don't know that I want to get a Switch just for that. If they announce a whole bunch of games that come out for other consoles and there is a reason to get a Switch, that's better to play those games rather than my Steam Deck, then sure. But they've got to have more than like three games that I like. Right. And then some of the games that are on there that I like are out on Steam, just like Ogre Tactics, right? That I totally played on Steam versus that. You had a little bit of news, didn't you, Jason?
Yeah. So, a few days ago, TES Renewal, the modding group that's been working on Skyblivion, released their latest region completion, and you know, now at this point, 11 years after they started, they are one region away from releasing an entirely remastered Elder Scrolls game. Only the and the region left is the Nibene region on Cyrodiil's eastern border. So that means it is currently more than 90% complete. And they say they've already got all of the NPCs and all of that done. It's just down to the actual world building for the region and implementing the quests. It's been a long journey, but seeing it that close to completion, pretty damn cool.
Wasn't there Bethesda doing doing a like a remaster or a remake of Elder Scrolls of the Oblivion game.
I'm
not sure if that's true. I'm trying to find information about it right now, but man, I heard about it, like where they were going to use Unreal 5 to remaster Oblivion, which would make it one of the prettiest Elder Scrolls games to date. Let's see. I'm reading. It's a rumor at the moment. This is as of December 20th. That Elder Scrolls Oblivion remake would be announced at the Xbox Developer Direct event in January. That would be kind of awkward.
I don't know that Unreal is the right engine. There's been a lot of discussion on. So I'll go back. I don't know enough about game development, so my opinion could be completely false. From my understanding, the creation engine, right, the reason they use it is just for all the interactable objects, right, where Unreal doesn't necessarily have that as the main feature. And I know a lot of people claim that Unreal 5 looks great, and it is possible to make games in Unreal 5 look fantastic. Reference back to Hellblade 2, right, that came out earlier this year or last year, that did look great. Not a whole lot of extra content in that game to interact with. The game's about 4.5 hours long, so getting it looking at that fidelity, it, like that game was like 150 gigs too, like it was huge. I don't see them having the scope of a game that they have in Creation Engine and Unreal 5. I don't know that it's possible. You know, I don't know enough about game design to understand what the interaction is and if that's possible to create the same type of item interaction that you get in those Creation Engine games in an Unreal Engine. And Sky Oblivion is definitely not Fallout, right? But if a sword drops in the ground, that sword stays in the ground the entire game, right? It doesn't despawn. And that's just how those games work, whereas a lot of these other games, that's just not how that system's designed to work.
Well, the thing is Creation, no matter how many freaking iterations they try to, you know, to jam into their Creation, is limited. And that much was readily apparent, because if you look at fucking Starfield.
Oh, you mean the loading screen between everything?
Yes, the Starfield itself is basically like at the limits of what Creation can do.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of the way that was implemented there, right? Like, go to a planet, load into planet, right? Go out of it's small, but it's a little bit immersion breaking.
Yeah, so there is, you know, benefits to going with a different, you know, title, and I think there was some stuff that I've, you know, was reading online where Bethesda was basically, you know, sticking with Creation because at that point, it basically defines their games, where people were like, oh, this is a Bethesda game because it is Creation Engine, you know? And I don't feel that way. I think that Bethesda could definitely do better. If there was an engine that, you know, that worked for it. Now, I don't know if this is a remaster or a remake of Oblivion. It's all speculation at this point. And I don't know what else they would be able to do with it, but it would be kind of awkward to have like an 11-year project trying to basically build a game from the ground up using a, you know, a newer version of the Creation Engine, and then Bethesda is like, yeah, let me go ahead and shit this remake out here and basically, you know, it's rough. I know, you know, projects like that take a lot of time, labor of love. The most time, the modders that do that aren't getting paid for it outside of donations, maybe. But I don't know. It just kind of it hits different for me when I see that almost being complete, and then Bethesda being like, oh yeah, well, we're going to go ahead and just like completely invalidate all of the fucking work you just put in for the last 11 years. That would piss me off.
Yeah, it pissed me off too.
Thing is Oblivion is basically, it's playable, but it's rough.
It's pretty ugly, 15 years later?
Yeah.
Or 20 years later, maybe. Rough.
Like,
it was really cool. It's
very similar.
Yeah, you know, like
it's playable, but it's rough.
That game's so old. Like I played that, I want to say right after college. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I could definitely get into playing Oblivion again, whether that's, you know, through Sky Oblivion or whether that's through the remake. Hell, I might play both. Fuck, just to see what the difference is between the two. But you know, that's kind of the thing. Again, everything old is new again. There is an entire generation that probably has never seen this game. This would be brand new for them.
I mean, you know? My stepdaughter is 23, or going to be 23 this year. So
yeah.
Yeah.
When these games released, they were either in diapers or not even conceived yet. So.
Yeah, we have to keep in perspective that we're getting older.
We're definitely in a different age group. That's for damn sure.
Seasoned grizzled gamers.
Grizzled gamers. Definitely
makes you a little bit more out analytical in what you actually consume.
Yeah,
that's true.
But. It's also kind of like these remakes are meant for us in a weird way, right?
We have the money, so.
Yeah, well, these are games that we bought, paid for, played, beat, sold off, or, you know, lent to somebody and never saw it back again. Or, you know, these are games that we've played, but we've forgotten 90% of, and, yeah, it would definitely be a whole new experience again, you know, going through it. You know, Oblivion, I was not into RPGs when Oblivion came out. Like, I was not into that kind of RPG. So I never gave Oblivion more than maybe a half an hour of my time. I've never played Oblivion. Like,
oh, I've completion. Beat the fuck out of that game.
Yeah, the first Elder Scrolls game that I sat down and, you know, basically for the first couple hours forced myself to play until I, you know, realized how to play it was Morrowind. And I thought myself a freaking elite PC gamer back in the day. You know, so when I built my, you know, first actual gaming rig, that was, you know, one of the games that I was testing it against.
You know, mine was Doom 3 and World of Warcraft.
Yeah, see, it's just
and before that, I rolled a fuckload of tamales so that I could play Final Fantasy VIII on CD-ROM on a machine that I built when I was a teenager. Couldn't even tell you the specs at this point, but that was a very cobbled together machine. Back in the day before Newegg was a thing and trying to find decent parts. I had a Voodoo card. Like, that tells you how far back that was.
Everybody had a Voodoo card back then, though, dude.
Yeah.
If you were anywhere halfway, you know, building your own machine and not, you know, not having somebody build it or getting it from, you know, a big box store or some shit, you had a Voodoo card.
I had a Voodoo card.
Yeah. Speaking of, that was the tits, man.
Speaking of hardware builds before I jump into my next subject. You have not had the best luck of finding upgrades, am I right?
Fuck no. shit. So I thought for sure I fucking hit the jackpot, or maybe that, you know, that the at least the fucking stupidity that is PC upgrades these days is fucking finally, you know, weighing down, because for a couple weeks, like I would say about 2 or 3 weeks, I hadn't even fucking looked, for the processor that I want, the 9800X3D. I've been looking, since launch. I saw it was being scalped. It saw that the freaking, the stock of for it is, spotty at best. And I sat there and I remembered what I did for the 3000 series NVIDIA card, where I stayed up all fucking night waiting for drops and shit. And I said, fuck this. I'm good with what I've got right now. This is just a nice to have upgrade. A couple days ago, I said, you know what? Fuck it. Let me search for it one more time. I saw it on Amazon. It was at like $519 or some shit for the price.
It should be $479, right?
Yeah, it's $479 normally. So it's like a $30 or $40, premium. It's not perfect, but better than the $700 or $800 that fucking people are trying to scalp it for.
Yeah,
I've been seeing that. So I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I just kind of leisurely went and said, yeah, all right, fine. Fuck it. Let me go ahead and buy it. So I bought it and the purchase went through. And I mean, it was the first thing I looked at. I didn't look at the stock on literally any place else. I just said, fuck it. Let me go ahead and buy it. Whatever. It's like maybe the price went up just because of demand. I didn't expect it to, I just thought that the shortage was over. I didn't look into it. And I was happy. I was like, I told the guys, I told the boss, I was like, yeah, I just got the 9800X3D. It's, it's going to be coming by the end of the month.
You posted that. I was in the middle of like work. And then I like checked my phone at lunch and saw that. I was like, where? And then it wasn't 2 hours later. You're like, no.
Yeah. So what ended up happening is the seller canceled the order and I got a refund. It didn't actually charge. It doesn't charge until it ships on Amazon. So it didn't actually charge me anything, but the seller canceled the order. I was looking into it. And I realized the shortage is not over yet. It's still very much being scalped. And this dude probably put it up on Amazon for way less than he expected to put it up on there and fucking ended up canceling the damn order on me so that he could scalp it for higher. And I'm pissed. I was just like, God damn it. Like, this happens. This is happening way too often with fucking PC parts nowadays. Like, if you want any kind of performance part, you have to fucking, like, fight, a bunch of fucking stupid shit, fucking scalpers and fucking scammers and fucking all kinds of shit just to get a decent piece of equipment. Like, this shit never fucking happened, like, years ago. This shit was barely a problem fucking when I was building PCs. New fucking part comes out, yippee yaddy, you can go down to the fucking store and buy it, or you can just order it or fucking pre-order it or something. Not this time, not these days. Fucking like literally everybody is fucking trying to get their hands on these these processors, it seems like. And I don't get it. Like, I don't understand. There's one thing I for sure have no fucking clue why it doesn't happen. Why in, you know, this would fucking, you know, this would get rid of scalpers 100% of the fucking time. Why can't you fucking institute a queue? Why can you not institute a fucking queue like EVGA did with the fucking 3000 series cards? Institute a fucking queue. Drop that shit into the fucking queue. When that, you know, when your, you know, time is up in the fucking queue, you get a notification, email, whatever, with a fucking locked link. It's only good for you. Fucking go in, you make your purchase, it gets shipped to you, and you don't have to fight the fucking lines. Sure, you're in a waiting, you know, waiting list, basically, but you don't have to fight the fucking line. You don't have to fight, you don't have to, buy shit from scalpers. This shit should be instituted across the fucking board throughout all the fucking, like, you know, the PC parts. If it's a hot item like this, institute a fucking queue. And then you cut out all of the fucking scalpers at that point, because everybody's going to be in the queue. Nobody's going to be buying it from the fucking scalpers unless they can't fucking wait.
Yeah, not me. Like, I've already learned my lesson, and I remember the stress of getting a 3080. And
yeah,
40, the and what I've got right now is just fine. I've got other things I want to spend money on this year, and I don't want to spend $1,000 upgrade my rig right now. Well, and the graphics card, like, who knows how much the 5090 is going to be? Supposed to know at some point this month. I want to say the tentative date's January 25th.
It's probably going to be over $2,000.
Yeah, I'm not spending that right now.
Over $2,000, or at least it's going to be right at $2,000. For the Founders Edition, and then if you're getting a fucking MSI or whatever, you're gonna fucking, you know, you're gonna buy those cards at, you know, a little bit of a premium, because they're gonna put extra coolers or fucking flashy bits or fucking neon or on shit.
Yeah, they're gonna add $200 or $300 onto it.
Generally, yeah. The idea behind all of this, though, if they don't fucking institute some kind of queue system for the 5000 series NVIDIA card launch, it's going to be a shit show. It's going to be an absolute fucking shit show. It's going to be worse than the 3000 series launch, because, I mean, at that point, everybody's going to be fucking scalping the fuck out of it, because it is, you know, it's a generational leap. It's there's not going to be enough to go around. Even if they say that there is going to be enough, there isn't.
No, because NVIDIA just, they create artificial shortages. I mean, they have ever since the big real shortage back in 2018, they saw what it does to their prices. They've just artificially been doing it ever since.
The thing is that it doesn't matter to, you know, to them. They could, you know, create a, you know, another series, and the price for fucking video cards over the past, like, three generations has doubled. It's dumb. Like, at this point, they have a license to print money when they, you know, when they drop a new fucking, you know, a generation of a video card, and people will pay it. This is what pisses me off the most. People will pay the scalper prices. And if they're willing to pay the scalper prices, NVIDIA looks at that and says, well, we could just drop, we could just increase our prices, because, you know, people are willing to pay it. And then the scalpers grab a hold of those, and then they fucking, like, jack the price up even more. And it's a cycle that won't be broken easily, because at this point, fucking NVIDIA is, you know, they're printing fucking money. They can do it. And what it comes down to is I'm going to need to fucking, you know, take out a goddamn loan to be able to build a halfway decent fucking PC down the line. You know, it's already getting to the point where, you know, if you want to build a a quality PC with high-end parts, you're looking at $5,000-$7,000 some places.
That's a lot of money.
And that's
too nuts. Much for gaming, like, to be honest with you. Like, again, even if you're at a point where you have the means, I don't think it's a wise use of your money, right? Like, that's too much money.
It is. I mean, considering you can get a fucking PlayStation, you know, 5 Pro for fucking, you know,
$600 or whatever.
Yeah, it makes PC gaming look like a fucking, you know, easy sauce fucking way, you know, easy decision. Like, look, I'm going to just get a PS5 Pro. You guys can fucking have your, you know, your fucking $7,000 PCs and fucking be the PC gaming master race. And I'm going to be laughing to the bank with all the fucking savings because look at this shit. You know, there, you well, know,
that's why PlayStation doesn't see PC as a threat. And that's why we don't get their exclusive titles on PC any faster than we do.
Well,
we get a handful
in a little bit because the exclusive, the having, you know, PlayStation, you know, exclusive shit, they've noticed that. If people want to buy the PlayStation, they will. If they have a PC, they're probably not going to buy a PlayStation because they spent so fucking much on the PC. They, you know, these companies with exclusive deals, they're really seeing that that continuing with the exclusive deals is just shooting themselves in the foot financially because you get all of, you know, you get most of your hype sales when the game launched. Okay. You know, if you're looking at, say, God of War Ragnarok, for instance, God of War Ragnarok gets their hype sales on PlayStation 5, you know, and, you know, sells a fuckload of copies of it. A year down the line, they release it for PC and it does okay. And I don't have the actual sales numbers, but I can't imagine it's anywhere close to the PlayStation 5 numbers. Now, if those games were released side by side, PlayStation 5 and PC, you know, PC, you know, gamers are actually a niche market. Like, it's there's not a whole lot of PC gamers here, right? Compared to people who own a PlayStation 5. Their numbers are going to be strong either way, but those people who are primarily PC gamers, they're going to get in on the hype buy. They're like, oh, this game is brand new. It came out. It's on PC. I can fucking play this game, you know, and, you know, I don't have to have a PlayStation 5 to do it. Fucking the sales numbers for PC will go up. Right. So, I think they're going to see that, and they'll do something similar to what Xbox has done, where a game will come out as a, you know, day one release on PC, you know, on PC and on Xbox, because they saw Xbox do it and it works. You know, if you have a PC, play it on PC. If you have an Xbox, play it on Xbox. It doesn't matter. They're still getting their money, right? So I think we're going to see over the next, you know, over the next few years, we're going to see exclusivity like that. It's going to go away. You know, and those games will be available on both platforms at the same time. But again, couple years down the line, you're going to need to fucking mortgage your house to buy a fucking, you know, PC. So it's kind of a thing. Man. I'm still looking at getting a 5080 or 5090 for my machine. Yeah. I want the fucking 9800X3D. I am never, ever going to pay a scalper for their prices. Ever.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait past the initial launch and maybe look at it upgrading here over a year. I'm hoping that you guys will tease me incessantly if I upgrade any earlier.
Well, if you upgrade, I mean, yeah, you really don't need to upgrade. And honestly, I don't need to upgrade, but I also had this planned. Like, I've saved up for, you know, for the, you know, 5000 series. I was looking at a new processor because, I mean, the processor I have is, you know, had was not bad, but it was starting to get a little aged. And I just, the only reason why I'm thinking about getting the 9800X3D and the 5090 to replace my perfectly good 7800X3D and 3090 is my brother needs a PC. And this, you know, the parts would go to a good home, you know, it'll go to help my, you know, help my nephews out. Have, you know, they'd have a, you know, a bitchin' game, you know, game system to play their Minecraft on. And that would be, you know, it'd be something that they can use for, you know, school and all that other jazz. That's the only reason why I'm considering buying it is like, I like to have the nice parts because I like to push games. But I also, you know, I know that I'm not wasting my money. This would be going towards, you know, this would be going towards family.
That's fair.
So it's, that's kind of the deal. I just, you have to, you know, balance that with the stress of staying in, like, you know, and hitting the fucking refresh button and trying to fucking, you know, fight the internet for a fucking part. It's, you know, and to me at this point, it's not worth it. You know, it's not worth it. You know, my brother and my, you know, and my, sister-in-law and my fucking nephews, they can wait. I'm not gonna rip out what little hair I've got left, to get those parts immediately if they're not available. So I just hope that there's a queue. I mean, if there was some form of a queue system, I'd be happy because I'd just drop myself in the fucking queue and basically forget about it until the fucking notification comes through. And, you know, I'd be right as rain at that point, you know? It's just unfortunate that the market doesn't do that. And it allows scalpers to exist.
Well, I don't know how exactly to transition from this, but one of the things that's happening, which doesn't have a lot of effect on us, but there is a pretty high probability that Microsoft's going to bring their big games to PS5 this year. So, like,
there's your exclusives going away right there.
Right.
You know, it was initially, like, there was the console wars, and that's been basically the entire thing throughout our formative years, right? Those, you know, from childhood up. Yeah,
console wars are fucking dumb.
Right. Well, ever since, like, there was, like, the Atari, I mean, even to a point, there was, you know, the Atari and, like, the Commodore systems, but they weren't really competing that much. They were just like, hey, this is a game system, right?
Unless you're our age, you don't even know what a freaking Commodore was.
Right. But as soon as Nintendo and, you know, the Sega systems came out, and then eventually Sony jumped into the picture with the PlayStation. You know, the whole idea of console wars just basically continued from there. But these days, all of these games are basically fucking PC games anyway, playing on, you know, on a, you know, specially configured set of hardware. Those things are just mini PCs, you know, hooked up to your television. You know, for, you know, running a proprietary fucking OS, but basically that's what they are. That's one of the reasons why, you know, it's so easy to just drop a fucking game into, you know, into Game Pass day one on fucking PC and Xbox, because they're basically running the same damn thing. There are differences. I acknowledge that, but still, it's very similar. The code runs very similarly. Shit, even the hardware is, you know, very similar to what you can find in a PC. It's so the blurring of the lines for the, you know, for the consoles, it's 100% just the, you know, the game developers, and the, you know, the game studios knowing that they could get more money if they can get these games into people's hands rather than trying to sell consoles, trying to sell the fucking actual software that people, that people want. They're gonna make more money off that than they would ever, you know, would off of their loss leader, basically the consoles themselves. So it's a thing that I knew was going to eventually happen. I'm just surprised it took this fucking long to do.
Yeah, it did take quite a while.
I want to say it was like maybe five. No, probably a lot longer than that. I wanted to say as far back as, you know, maybe 8 to 10 years ago, we were thinking that the barrier would fall and crossplay would happen between like Xbox and PlayStation. You know, it was right around like the Xbox 360 days, where we were thinking maybe that the barrier would fall, and we'd be able to play, you know, like Call of Duty with people who were playing Call of Duty on PlayStation. It never happened, but we got closer recently, you know, at least within the last, you know, 4 or 5 years with crossplay on PC. It's gotten closer. I think that we're very close to, you know, just seeing a homogenization of the consoles, where you can choose which console you want to play on, but it's really just a hardware choice at that point, you know? And you'll still be able to play the game, you know, play all of the games that you wanted to play with the people that you wanted to play with, rather than like, you know, it would suck right now, for instance, if I wanted to say, hey, Jason, I want to play a PlayStation 5 game with you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've got this really fucking cool PlayStation 5 game. I want to play this game with you, but you have to go out and fucking buy a PlayStation 5 just to play that fucking game. You know, that's what's stopping people from getting into these games. And that's what I'm seeing is going to change. You know, you're not going to see this. I'll be like, hey, Jason, I've got this fucking game. I want to play, you know, play with you. Jump on your fucking Xbox. I'll get on my PlayStation. We'll fucking get going, you know? And we'll be able to fucking enjoy the fucking game instead of having to deal with, you know, this artificial block that, you know, that we see, in the consoles. So it's coming.
Well, speaking of, I have another no good transition, but Pal World released a huge update to try to distance itself from Pokemon. So there's a video you can watch called For the Fabric Update. Basically, they made an event. There's an earthquake that shakes up Pal World, right? So it's literally shaking up the game. Introduced a new island. It updates and alters how Pal's fields work. Adding a module that alters the sphere's trajectory and in turn its capture success, changes some of the weapons, the skins, as well as changing some of the actual creature designs, and also adds some additional extreme battles in the random world events that it's happened. One of the developers is quoted as saying, I speak for everyone here when I say we are proud for making this one of the best games of the genre. Pal World is everything that Pokemon should be, but unfortunately the franchise is in the hands of greedy people. I hope Nintendo loses. I want justice for Pal World. They said, lesser studios would have crumpled in fear by now. We show bravery in the face of oppression, and there's a whole bunch after that. But anyways, long story short, worth looking into that if you have some interest. I'm kind of waiting for a 1.0 before I play it again. It's on Game Pass, so, you know, that's there.
Right.
I happen to have this on Steam and Game Pass, bought into it real early. Like I said, Palworld was one of those games that I bounced off of hard. You want to know why I bounced off of it, though?
It wasn't enough to do.
This particular time, I got 30 seconds into the game.
I have no idea.
It was the Breath of the Wild style fucking, slate and tinkles and fucking the sound design made it sound like Breath of the Wild, and it turned me off almost immediately. I couldn't even get out of like the very first fucking cave area that you fucking wake up in. I couldn't get out of that because as soon as the area name popped up and it was that cutesy ass fucking, Zelda style fucking, like, the font and everything, just, it drove me insane. I couldn't do it.
Well, if you need some extra things to look forward to, I'll give you some quick rundown of what's coming out in the next couple of months. There's a whole lot more, but here's the only things that even kind of tinkles my fancy. Hyperlight Breaker comes into early access on January 14th. So for us, about a week and a half away. We've got Orcs Must Die Death Trap coming out on January 28th. And then in February, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. I was really never a big fan of the first one. It was way too simmy for me. I have it on console, actually. Just haven't really ever gotten very far into it. Wow. Avowed on February 18th.
Right.
February
20th.
That's on Game Pass. Yeah, that's on Game Pass. February 20th, Like a Dragon Pirate Yakuza in Hawaii. That may come out on Game Pass as well. Monster Hunter Wild's coming out on February 27th.
I'm going to fucking destroy that game, man. Oh my god, I can't fucking wait.
So, like, that being said, like, this is a good time to get through backlog and stuff that I haven't finished, right? So, I'm actually looking forward to having the time to get through what I currently have, and I have a lot on my backlog. Like, you have no idea. I did spend some money on the Steam sale on some indie titles that I'm excited to get into, and I'm trying to kind of go one game at a time, which is why I poop-sucked Drova and beat the fuck out of it and uninstalled it. But I bought it, I played it, I beat it, it's done, which is good. At least going on a notable mention, if not further.
Yeah. Oh, it's...
But I don't...
I don't know how much time I'm going to have or what time I'm gonna be, sitting in front of a fucking computer, after this week. But we'll see. And there is some stuff that I can do in Final Fantasy XIV. That there was a patch that dropped out in November that I haven't even touched yet. So, there's at least a little bit of story and some catching up to do there. And, I'm going to be, testing out some games that I haven't really, haven't really given a whole lot more time and see if I can get past that 30-second mark. But it's all basically waiting for Avowed and Monster Hunter Wilds. I am super hyped for Monster Hunter Wilds. I don't know. I can't even describe how hyped I am for that game. Looking at what they did with the beta and having the open beta and being able to see some of the gameplay from that. It's gonna be Monster Hunter World all over again, man. It looks great.
Yeah, I'm not ready. Know if I'm ready for it. I may actually wait on it. It just depend on how I'm feeling at that point.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. Yeah, ever since I got my hands on World, I've been, really, I've really liked the Monster Hunter series. Of course, I got in way, way, way late because I don't play anything on handheld. So that means that I missed about, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 games that were on handheld before on the, you know, on Nintendo Game Boys. But yeah, these major releases, they've got me as part of the target audience now. So it's going to be a fun fucking time. Can't wait.
Well, do we got anything else?
I don't. I really don't. That's hilarious.
All right, Cass. Well, then find us at TiltCast.com. Find us on Facebook and Twitter.com/TiltCast. Our YouTube channel is YouTube.com/TiltCastShorts with a Z. And find us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe.
Find friends of the show. You got For the Love of Gaming. You've got Picking Up the Pixels or Pupcast with Musum. And you have TVGP.TV. They love great RPGs. And with that, it's the end of the show.
All right.
Peace.
Peace.